So today our scriptures are two stories I think we're pretty familiar with. One about Zacchaeus, the other one about David receiving his call to become a king. And so we're going to deal a little bit about that under the overall banner of trust and obey. And so I hope you'll be able to see how those kind of themes are picked up in both of those passages and why that's important for us to hear this morning. But before we do that, let's pray and ask for the Spirit's leading and guiding on his reading and receiving of the word. Creator God, we come and we give thanks for the gift of this day. We thank you that you challenged us to rise up and meet this day, that as you filled our lungs with your breath today, that we would rise up and meet that with good words, kind words, loving words. But also as we go about our day, and as we're about to open your word, that we would use our ears to hear those words again. And maybe they're really familiar stories to us, but Lord, just help us to hear them afresh. To help us for where we might be at today. Send your Spirit so that he can stir in us your word, so that it doesn't just remain on the page, but becomes a living word. And that we truly become those vessels that you want us to be, that bring healing to a hurting world. To be that balm of Gilead to friends, family, community. So bless our time together in your scriptures. We just ask for your presence, dear Jesus. Amen. So the first scripture is out of Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus the tax collector. So you know already that that just makes him like low man on the totem pole and then something. He is not liked, he is not loved in any way, shape, and or form by the people who were living in Israel at that time. But Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now switching over to 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 through 47, story of David and his family. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. But David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. And then he took a staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, I am a dog that you come after. Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So far, the reading of God's word. Trust and obey. Dear family of Jesus, this morning we find ourselves, as you heard from Sunday school, in the season of. We just came out of the season of. Well, Epiphany, or for some traditions, ordinary time, right? Epiphany, the days are getting longer, we're starting to see the light, right? We have those light bulb moments going into 2026 now, at least that's what we're hoping for. But with all the things that are happening around us in the world today, it really forced me to look deeper into, okay, what does being a follower of Jesus mean? What does being a follower of Jesus mean? We have talked about the story of Christmas and the incarnation of Jesus to the world. But sometimes we find ourselves in a place needing encouragement and a gentle reminder we have a God who is on our side. In the incarnation, Jesus invited himself to dinner and told the world that he must stay here as one of us. It's part of our salvation. He must do so because he's looking to save all who are lost. And he promises to find us, even if we are trying to hide in a tree. We will start with Zacchaeus, whose name means pure, clean, just. In this passage, sort of the key themes are repentance, making amends, joy and salvation, and Jesus' mission to seek and save the lost. In her book, Jody Sparger retells the story of Zacchaeus, but not from the way we read it today, but more from a first-person view of Zacchaeus. And so let's, for a moment, just think. We think of that passage of Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus is closing up shop because he hears this prophet's coming. And he's nosy like the rest of us, so he wants to see what's coming. He's heard great things. And so climbs up into his tree. And it seems it was his tree because he'd been there before and he'd watched people because he could hide up in the tree and people would walk underneath him and they wouldn't see him. And there he sat perched. He felt safe. He felt secure because Nobody knew he was there. And he was curious about this moment because, you know, there was this fisherman, Peter, who had, well, it was weird. His dad, Zebedee, walks into my tax office the other day and he pays off his complete tax bill. And he goes, how is that possible? How could this guy pay off this poor fisherman's tax bill? And what's more, I hear that this fisherman is following this new prophet guy too. So he's just curious, right? Zacchaeus just wants to know, how come? Why are we here? What is this story all about? How come this guy? And so the moment he hears the crowd coming, he sees them, and how many of you are curious, right? And you want to be nosy, and you want to find out what's happening. And so Zacchaeus is up in his tree, and he's just listening. He's hearing people, oh, this is happening. He's coming. It's excitement building. And then all of a sudden, he realizes that Jesus is below his tree. And Zacchaeus is like, oh, okay, he's here. I can listen and see what he says. And before he knows it, he has two eyes locked on him. And the man says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. Zach, come on down. I'm coming to your house today for dinner. Me? No way. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go. Let's go to dinner. And we know as the story unfolds that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't happy with that because this prophet, this savior is going with this tax collector. But Zacchaeus didn't matter, right? He had a big house. He had servants. So he said, oh, I got this. I can entertain. We can do this thing. No problem. Come in, Jesus. And as soon as he walks in and crosses the threshold, Zacchaeus blurts out, well, first he recognizes, he sees John over there. Oh, yeah, he owes me, and I took money from him. And, oh, that family, too. I just took all their goats as payment. And they're, oh, man. He's struck with the fact that he has not been an honest person. And Zacchaeus grew up in the Jewish tradition. He knew all about the laws and the commandments. He knew how to follow all of them. But at that moment, things just didn't add up for him anymore. He realized that this Jesus, who I invited as a guest, has somehow become the host in my house. I look over there, Jesus is talking with several people, and he's just carrying on conversations, and I'm here. And so Zacchaeus, almost wanting to be, you know, noticed, says, hey, Jesus, whatever I owe people, I will pay them back today, starting now. You can imagine Zacchaeus probably after saying that is going, okay, where'd that come from? But he continues to watch Jesus interact with the people in his house, and Zacchaeus gets to the point, he goes, he's the host of my house. What if I invited him into my heart? I like the words he's saying. I like hearing what he has to say and what he's offering. And it sure made my heart soften because I want to, you know, restore the relationships that I have broken because of greed and because of my job. And so one of the disciples comes over to Zacchaeus and says, hey, Zach, you know we're going to pay for this, right? You saying you're going to pay back all this money back to the community. You know the Roman government isn't going to go for it. And Zacchaeus goes, yeah, I suppose, but I'm way up here. They're over there. By the time things get figured out, you know, I'll have it all smoothed out and I'll be okay. But I may lose my job. But he found himself saying, okay, I'd be okay with that. Even though the apostle was mad because he didn't like this attention that was going to be drawn to them. And where was Jesus in all of this? Talking, meeting, mingling, encouraging people. And so Zacchaeus became a changed man because Jesus invited him into his house. Folks, if it's been a while since you've invited Jesus into your house, I ask you to invite him today. Because we're no different than Zacchaeus. We have the same wants, the same needs. But if we can let Jesus into our house, and if we can let him be the host, things can change. And as we heard, they're going to be hard changes because, like for Zacchaeus, he may lose his job, and people were going to push against the fact that he was giving money back, and this tension of good and bad and evil. And that would be our lives too today. But in the end, Jesus promised him salvation. He said, there will be salvation in this house today. So is it worth it? Yes. It is worth that risk of inviting Jesus into your house this week. Make no mistake about that. When we make Jesus the host of our house, of our home, of our hearts, there's no turning back. Jesus flips the script. He did then, and he can do it again for us today. He flips the script on the patterns of oppression, of injustice, opening up new possibilities for healing and restoration. And I don't know if you've read the news or noticed a few things on the TV these days, but our world needs healing and restoration. And we, as followers of Jesus, we get to be that in real time, in real ways, in our own communities, shaping our worlds around us for the good. And not again for, okay, Harold said go do this and now I'm doing this. Because Zacchaeus realized even in his moment, he had to trust Jesus and the teachings he was bringing. And Zacchaeus gets to that point and goes, I do trust him. I do know that I feel more peaceful and to where my heart now wants to restore some broken relationships and situations that I haven't been dealing very well with. And then in our second passage, we have David, right? This young man, probably a teenager, tending sheep. And his story is when he's confronted by the prophet, comes into their house, and they go through all the sons. Nope, 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 nope. You know, sort of like duck, duck, goose. And it was David. And the parents are like, why David? Like, he's the least of it. He's just a sheep herder. But the refrain that comes out of Jesus or out of David's story time and time again is, the Lord is God, and I will follow him. Without question, even though in his mind I'm sure David is saying, I don't know how this is going to quite work out. But he never wavered, because when they found out that the Philistines were marching against Israel and they had sent out the armies, and there they were, and they're just standing face to face. And there's this giant of a man calling them all out. Say, come on, bring it. Can you imagine what Goliath really was thinking, right? Come on, you sent this little kid against me? And they tried to heap all of the king's, you know, armor onto David, and he says, no, I can't do that. In fact, I don't need to do that because the Lord is my God. And so he reaches down, picks up those pebbles, and he marches out. And he's now facing this giant of a man. And he's not even shaking in his boots. Because in the back of David's mind is playing, the Lord is God, and I am his. And so we know the story. David reaches in and he slings that stone, and it lands right smack dab in the middle of Goliath's forehead. And the giant crumbles and falls to his death. Victory. But in that whole process, David's idea was not that, hey, David is going to be king. Yay, this is David's coming out ceremony. No. You came at me with spears, weapons. I came at you with God, the living God. And so I hope when you hear that story today and you think about that for your own life, you are one of Jesus' followers. We've already prayed that, you know, you already got the gift of the Holy Spirit when you became a believer in Jesus. And that is such a cool gift. And some of you know that. Some of you have yet to find that out, but trust that it is there for you when you need it. All David wanted to do was let the world know that there is a God in Israel. Not just any God, the God. The one and only. Mission accomplished. The world now knows. And Saul now knows again. And it was a hard journey because Saul, I'm sure, was torn at, oh, yay, we've defeated the Philistines. It's going to look good on my resume as king. But he also knew that this young startup kid here was going to be the next king. And that troubled Saul. He had difficulty with that, and he had to do some wrestling, he had to do some figuring. Eventually, he finds out in his life that, you know, I can't argue with God anymore. It's going to happen. And a new king will come forward. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of the Philistine." So for you today here in Ebenezer, let no one lose heart on account of whatever situation you find yourself in. Because you will go fight against whatever you need. And I know fighting doesn't necessarily have to be fighting fisticuffs, but standing up for those who do not have a voice, for advocating for people with disabilities, advocating so that people can have food, can have clean drinking water. That's what we're called to do and to bring to this world. And you know, David, he goes from, originally he was just supposed to bring a bunch of food to the front line, feed the soldiers, his brothers and, you know, some of his platoon kind of thing. And he goes from that moment of being that kind of a servant, somebody who doesn't understand the, maybe the circumstance, and maybe you feel like that, that you're just being, I'm always just the runner. I'm always just going to help people, going to be somewhere. But there is a reason that you do that work. And so I encourage you to continue to be that runner. Because one day God may just say, today is your day that you are going to stand up and you are not going to be the runner, but you are going to be the voice of me. And if that scares the heck out of you, I'm right there with you. Because it is a fearful place to be. But if we think about Zacchaeus, he trusted. Do we have that trust today? And then the story of David, are we willing to obey? Can we obey? And in both these stories, when they did that, things worked out really well for them. And we know that Jesus does not want to harm us or hurt us or make us do things that we are not capable of. And that's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the presence of God the Father with us. That's why we can bring all of this to Jesus. And not because we want to lift up ourselves, but because we want the world to know there is one God. creator of heaven and earth, the redeemer, our savior. And so I hope this drives you and you hear these stories to a point where, dear family of Jesus, I hope you have the curiosity to ask questions this week. To accept invitations that maybe you're going, I don't know, I've never been there before. But just like Zacchaeus, and then respond and then find out once you've walked through that door that it was like that for me in my ministry. My journey to becoming director of the Edmonton Native Healing Center. There was a moment where I used to work at Lilydale Foods. And one afternoon I decided I'm going to the Edmonton Native Healing Center because I'm interested. And so I go in and park my car, get out of the door. Now I got to walk up the stairs. Get up the stairs, going to turn the door. And I said, I can't do that. Just go home again. Open the car door. No, Harold, you didn't come all this way just not to do that. Okay, go. A lot of talking to myself in between this. And I open that door on the third try. And I walk in, and I am greeted by this lovely elderly woman named Charlotte Ferris. And she strikes up a conversation with me, says, Harold, well, she didn't know my name at that point, but hello, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm here to see the director. I'm interested. She says, well, he's on the phone right now. And so we, how's the weather? Well, weather was good. What's it like? All of this kind of little bit of chit-chat. And then she looks, oh, I see he's free now, if you want to go. And so I'm about ready to turn away from her. And she throws her arms around me and gives me a hug. And at that moment, I knew. I said, God, if this is the way this community who does not know me greets me, I'm all yours. And we're still living that story. Doesn't make me better than any of you. Makes my story different than yours. But that's what the cool thing is about gathering as a community of Jesus. We all have these different stories to tell. And quite honestly, sometimes in church we kind of suck at telling stories. Letting our neighbors know how and what's really going on in our lives. And so if we're going to be this community of faith that's going to step into a world that has those moments, we can garner strength and courage from here. So have that curiosity this week to hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He's there. And he calls every day. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. Some days I just slam that door shut and say, no, I can't. I don't have time. I got to do this. But as I found out in my own life, when I opened those doors, amazing things can happen. Not in the name of Harold, not in the name of the Edmonton Native Healing Center, but in the name of Jesus, whose Father is the Almighty God, in whom we should trust, and in whom we should believe and obey. So have that curiosity this week. And I know it takes courage. So be courageous to do those things, to seek out doors that maybe not have been open to you, or have the curiosity. Ask those questions of people, of yourselves. Because in Micah 6:8 says this, he has showed you, O humankind, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk Doesn't seem so hard, does it? If we live that out, our world would be changed. It can be changed. And all we have to do is act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Zacchaeus was humbled to the point where he realized that his lifestyle was not in accordance with what Jesus was teaching. And so he said, I'm going to offer restitution to the folks I've ripped off. And I'm going to try to be that generous human being. David said, with unwavering faith, this God that I have been taught about is the one and only God, and in him I can do all things. We can do that same in our lives today. It's going to take getting out of that comfortable, easy chair sometimes. Sometimes, like I said, it's going through a door that you didn't anticipate going through. But in my own life, I will never regret that choice to open that door. My life changed. Yes, I was a follower of Jesus. I had served on council as deacon, elder, you know, Sunday school teacher, cadet teacher, all of those good things. But you know what? I never shared the gospel with anybody once in those roles. When I found out, two things. First of all, that I was indigenous. Got my little card, said, hey, you're an Indian in the Indian Registry of Canada. Wrestled with God for 2 weeks. Came out on the side saying, this is good. I like this, being indigenous. And in the moment where Charlotte Ferris threw her arms around me and says, welcome. Two significant moments that allow me to now preach the gospel, whether it's to one, to a stadium filled with a million people. I will gladly share the word of God with anybody, anywhere, anytime, because it is that important. And you know what the side benefit is? It brings me joy, because it's such an awesome gift to give to the world. Positive news, encouraging words, loving words, and to know that there is a awesome God that stands behind that. So for this upcoming week, we've got some prayer points we're going to think about. Pray for people who think they are unworthy of love. For those with low self-esteem or those who haven't been told or have been told they are worthless. And our world is full of those people. In my work at the Edmonton Native Healing Center, quite often in counseling, I will ask the person in front of me, do you love yourself? And I say, this morning, if you stood in front of the mirror in the bathroom, could you say, I love you, Harold? And if you can't do that, then we need to work on that. And if you find yourself in that position this morning, then I encourage you to reach out for help, to fall on your knees, to find a moment with God and just, Jesus, I need you. Because the world needs to know your love. I need to know your love. And pray that you will be able to speak words of encouragement, even love, when you have the opportunity. It's not about us. It's about that gospel message. It's about Jesus' love. And pray that your desire will be to build others up in the Lord. Right? The whole purpose of David was about showing people it's God who slayed this giant. He took care of Israel that day and the people. So pray for people who think they are unworthy of love, for those with low self-esteem or those who have been told they are worthless. Pray that you will be able to speak words of encouragement and even love when you have the opportunity. And pray that your desire will be to build others up in the Lord. Amen.